Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special Boker Raton Synagogue Midrashah Zoom Shear. No audio? Why does it say no audio? People are saying they could hear me? Okay, so I think the person who said no audio, for some reason, it might be on your end. I'm not sure. Please check if everyone else is saying they could hear me. Okay. Welcome, everybody, to our Monday evening Boker Raton Zoom Midrashah Shear. So it's not really, there's not much in Yanni Diyoma going on, the time period between Chanukah and Purim. It's a quiet time, so I decided to use as the point of, and I thank Rabbi Shabtai, of course, Hakarsoto to Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to present this year. Thank you, Rabbi Shabtai. So I decided to focus on, as the point of departure, this week's Parsha Shemos. Be'ezrat Hashem, we open up a new book. Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos, Sefer Hagula. Every one of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah is a different appellation. Bereishis has a lot of different appellations. Bereishis is known as Sefer HaYitzira, Sefer HaYashar, Sefer Simanim, and Sefer Bereishis. Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim. Bamidbar is Sefer HaPikudim. Devarim is Mishnah Torah. And Shmos is known as Sefer Hagula. So most often understood reason that is known as Sefer Gula, the Book of Redemption, because it's the story of the redemption of Klal Yisrael. It's not only the story of Shibud Mitzrayim, but it's also the story of Gula Mitzrayim, the redemption from Egypt. Furthermore, the building of the Mishkan represents spiritual freedom as well as Matan Torah, not in that order. So it's a book of physical Gula and spiritual Gula. But the point of departure that I want to use for tonight's Shir is the essence of the word Shemos or Shemos. And the whole book is called Shemos, after the Shemos B'nei Yisrael. So we are going to begin. I'm going to begin by screen sharing right away with you. And let's just look where I want to be. 1 second. Screen share. Here we go. Could you see that it says Shemos 1, Ve'ela Shemot B'nei Yisrael? Anyone that I could see? Yeah? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so here we go. Ve'ela Shemot B'nei Yisrael by Mitzrayim. These are the names of the children of Israel who are coming to Egypt. I'm putting just Rashi here for when we need it. Ve'ela Shemos. And this is the whole foundation for the title of the second Sefer of Chumash. Okay, the second Sefer of the Chamish of Chumash. Chumash, by the way, is just from the word Chamish. We call it a Chumash. Chumash is Chamish. Five books of Torah. So the Chamish of Chumash Torah, the second one is known as Shemos, and that's what I want to talk about today, the power of a name. Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael bar Mitzrayim. These are the names of the children of Israel coming to Egypt. Es Yaakov, Ishu Ve'sovah. Yaakov, each man in his household came. And now you see that the Torah does list the names of the sons of Yaakov who came down to Egypt. But what you're going to notice after that is that hardly any names are used. So the book is called Shemos. Hardly any names are used. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvon, Binyamin. The Torah, by the way, here is repeating the list of the family of Yaakov, which it already told us in Parshas Vayigash. In Parshas Vayigash, after Yosef's grand reveal, we already told Elishmos B'nei Yisrael by Mitzrayim. The exact same phrase is used. Yaakov, Ishu, Vesovau, and it was 70 souls. And now here the Torah does not repeat the entire 70 souls. It repeats rather the brothers. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvon, Binyamin, Dan of Tali, God. Va'asher, and all of those who came out from the loins of Yaakov were 70 souls, and Yosef was in Egypt. So after names the sons of Yaakov, and now it tells us, Vayama Yosef, and Yosef died, V'chol Achav, and all of his brothers, V'chol Darhu, and that entire generation. And now, what is fascinating is that we are actually not told any names. Okay. And the B'nai Israel were fruitful and teeming and many, and they were strong very, very much, and the land was filled with them. A new king arose over Egypt that did not know Joseph, very famous Machlokas. You see Rashi on the screen, Rav and Shmuel. One says Chadash Mama, she was Taka, a very new king. And the other one says, no, Nischadesh Gzerosav. He just pretended that he was doing, pretended as if he didn't know Yosef. And he comes up with this whole platform of anti-Semitism, slave labor, and ultimately infanticide. The Nesar are so strong, there's so many, and they descend into Shibit Mitzrayim. Let's be smart against them. Now they start with tax oppression, then they start with slave labor. They keep being fruitful and multiplying, and they work them with backbreaking labor. They embitter their lives. These are psukim that we recite in the context of the Haggadah Shal Pesach. And so Parah doesn't know what to do, because Kasher Yanu Oso, the more that they afflict them, Kei Nirba, the Kei Nirfot. They afflict them, but they are increasing, and they are becoming fruitful. Doesn't make any sense. usually if you're causing financial oppression in the form of tax collectors, so sometimes the Great Depression, lo aleinu, Hashem yirachem, people took their own lives, ani nechshav kameis, so they make them into aniyim financially, they have the propaganda machine, hava nischach melo pen yirba, vayikisikarena melchama, v'nesav hu gam al soneinu, v'alinu min ha'aretz, they do propaganda, they're going to kick us out of our land, then they start the actual slave labor, they start embittering their lives, so it's so strange, the more that they afflict these people, the greater that they become. Paro doesn't know what to do. So now he resorts to what? Infanticide. And the king of Egypt says to the midwives of the Hebrews, now you asher shame ha'achas shefra, v'shem ha'shenis pua. Now names become significant again. We are told the name of one is Shifra, and the name of the other is pua. So Rashi famously says, over here you see on the screen, who is Shifra? Yochaver al-shem shemisha peret et havalad. Why is she called Shifra? Shifra, like shofar, is from the word to beautify, to make something beautiful. She would beautify the child. So she would clean off the blood and the amniotic fluid. I'm not making a joke or trying to be... not nice, I'm being serious. Okay, so I'm going to have to cut the umbilical cord, freshen up the baby, put on a diaper. So Yochaved would be Mishaperet et Havalad, she would beautify the child. Then why was she called Pua? Zo Miriam, this is Miriam, Shapoa Umidaber Vahogal Havalad. She would coo and she would talk and she would sing lullabies to the little child. Coo, 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 poo, poo, poo. The baby's crying, you pick them up. Shh, shh, shh. She tried to get the baby quiet, like the way of woman who appease a crying baby. So you see that you have names here, but what's interesting is that these are actually not their real names. Shem Ha'acha Shifra, it is a pseudonym, if you will. It is an allusion to what she does, but it's not her actual name. Her actual name was Yochaved. Her actual name was Miriam. This is just an allusion to the greatness of these women. So he says, when you see the Hebrew women give birth, kill the boy on the birthing stool. And the women, midwives were God-fearing. They ignored the instructions. Paro said, why did he do this? They said, the Jewish women are like animals. They don't need a midwife. Finally, he decides that all baby boys are going to be drowned in the river. His magicians told him on that day, like you see on Rashi on the screen, the magician says, you know, the Moshiach Shal Yisrael is going to be born. We need to do something drastic here. The Savior of Israel is going to be born. And Paro says to everybody, any baby boy, into the river. So this is a story, not of particulars and not of specifics, but of a nation as a group or a collective of individuals. We are not actually told any names after Vayamas Yosef v'cholacha v'cholodaruhu, like we saw at the beginning, Pesukim actually do tell us the Shemos. It's quite ironic that in a book that is called Shemos, names, we have hardly any Shemos. Even once we meet Moshe, which we're about to do together, and Aaron and Miriam officially, we still do not have any names of the rest of the nation, Adash and Aviram. How many names do we have? There were millions of Jews in Egypt. And it continues like this, because now, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, Vayelich Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. It could have been any random person, any random male from the house of Levi. And he goes and he takes a Bas Levi, a daughter of Levi, and she conceived and she gave birth to a son. What's extremely interesting is if you look at the Imahot, when they had their children, they named the babies at the time. Okay, so it begins in Perech of Tes, Abrashis, at the end of Perech of Tes, right at the end. Yehuda is born in Perech of Tes, Pasuk Lamed Hey. So I'll go back to Perech of Tes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Leah starts to have her children. And as soon as the baby's born, the baby is named. It's extremely interesting that here this woman from Levi, who is not named, who we know from Chazal's Yocheved, gives birth to a boy. And it doesn't say Vatikra Shmo, or it doesn't say like by Levi Vayikra Shmo. It says Vatera Sokitov. She saw he's good. The Smalai Bais Kula Ora, says Rashi, and she hides him for 3 months. Once again, it deviates from what the Torah usually does. When a child is born, Edom, Esav, he comes out and they call his name Esav. Asui, says the Rashbam. They call his name Yaakov. He's holding on, Ba'akev Achiv. He's holding on to heal of his brother. It's extremely unusual that a child of such significance, I'm not talking about minor biblical personality, is born in the Chumash, and there is no name given. Vatar Yishav Ateli Bein. The next word should be Vatikra Shmo, whatever they called him, Tov, Tuvia. You're right, Debbie Pellet, I forgot to say the dedication, and I have my Chumash right here. No, I left my Chumash upstairs, that's why. 1 second, she's right. I'm confusing this with my 8 o'clock shiur. I'm making myself crazy. Let's keep going. I was confusing myself with my 8 o'clock share. Let's go. So it's extremely interesting that she gives birth to a boy and it does not give his name. She hides him for 3 men. She can't hide him anymore. She makes a little basket, floats him down the river. Excuse me for the tissue. They're all anonymous. The book is called Shavos. The book is Sefer Gula. What is the significance of having names if you don't give me any names? So what really is the essence of a person? What does a name mean? What does it represent? Is it merely something that we are called by our parents when we are born? Because if you look what's going on here, there are practically no names. Even the name Shifra and Pua, according to the most famous Chumash commentator, which is Rashi. Rashi is so important when you learn Chumash that there are more than 20 super commentaries on Rashi. I once read that, I forget where. Maybe even it's more than 20. So those are pseudonyms. Those are nicknames. What are their real names? The Chumash doesn't even tell us their real names. Now a man goes, a woman goes, she gives birth to a son. Deviating from the pattern, the Torah does not tell us what his parents named him. They must have named him something. In fact, and you could Google it, it's very easy. Google 10 names for Moshe Chabad. Tov, Tuvia are 2 of them, okay? I forgot the other ones. And they don't say a name. And now he's in this little basket. And his sister stands from afar. Who's his sister? We don't know. Even, I thought when I was preparing this year, her name is Bas Paro. Who is she? Doesn't say she's Bitya or Batya. It just calls her Bas Paro, the daughter of Pharaoh. That's a very generic name. Pharaoh was the name of every king in Egypt. Wasn't the name of a specific person. And never mind, it's not even her name. And Bas Paro goes down to bathe in the river, and her maidens are going with her, and she sees this little basket in the reeds, and she sends forth her hand, slash her maiden, Rashi. She takes the basket. She opens it, she sees the little boy, and there's a lad crying. Baal Turim says it's Aaron crying, and she has mercy. She knows. Bas Paro is what I call the first righteous Gentile, but that's not the theme of tonight's year. And his sister says to the daughter of Pharaoh, shall I go call you a woman, a midwife from the Hebrews? And she will nurse for you the child. And Bas Paro said, go. And the maiden runs, and she calls the mother of the boy. No names. And Bas Paro says, take your child and nurse. I'll give you your wages. The Isha takes the child. The first time you really see a name of significance is actually Bas Paro naming her adopted son. And here we are on Perek Beis Pasuk Yud. So at this point, many years have passed in Shubat Mitzrayim. And the Torah really gives us a generic, if you will, excuse me, narration without pinpointing specific characters. And the child grew up. Right? And she brought him to Bas Paro because the deal was only as long as he's nursing. She was to him a son. Very strange. His parents called him something. Bas Paro calls him a name. Moshe. From the water I drew him. And now, and once we meet Moshe, now we start to see names. Okay? He meets 2 servants. It's not surprising that they don't have names. And the coin, okay? They come to Reuel, their father. Moshe sits with the man, and he marries Tzipporah. He has a son. He calls him Gershom. Once we meet Moshe, and Moshe gets a name, now we do see the appearance of a name. So with the beginning of Geula, Moshe represents the beginning of Geula, come the Shemos. That's not an accident. Sefer Shemos is Sefer Shemos, a.k.a. Sefer HaGeula. Once Moshe is born and he is named by Bas Paro, not his mother, the beginning of the redemption is starting at that moment to unfold when he leaves the huts of slavery and he moves into the palace of Pharaoh. He gets a name. And from that time now, we start to see names emerge in the book. I was seeing something very interesting when I was preparing this year, and that is that the name Moshe can be rearranged to spell, I wrote it in my notes, Hashem, the name. I'm not talking about Hashem. Like, when we say Hashem, it's really just an appellation for God because we don't say Hashem's name. We're referring to Elohim or Yod Then Hey Then Vav Then Hey or Shakai or Kel or Godel Gibra Venora. And you say Hashem, right? When we write Baruch Hashem, Hashem just means the name. In this case, I'm not talking about Hashem as in Hashem, but rather Moshe can be rearranged to spell the word Hashem. The name. All of a sudden, with Moshe being brought to Bas Paro, well, he will move into the palace of Pharaoh. We have the emergence of the name, which will begin to signify the beginning of the process of redemption. It's extremely interesting, and it's something that I focus on very, very much, that names in Tanakh are extremely significant. They have a lot of meaning. What about the names of our three great leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? So those who learn with me on a regular basis, if you don't, welcome. It's always a pleasure to learn. I don't know if anyone's actually learned with me for the first time, but it could be. Okay, it's a pleasure. If you learn with me on a regular basis, you know that I'm quite fascinated by Shorashim and words in Lashon HaKodesh. And if you look at the names of Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe, which are the three main leaders of Am Yisrael, which are the three main leaders of Am Yisrael during the time from Shibur Mitzrayim to Geula Mitzrayim to the borders of the Promised Land, each of their names tells us something significant. So Moshe is, we just saw, Perek Beis Pasuk Yod, Kimin Hamayim Mishisihu, because from the water I drew him. So what does that mean? So if Shamsham Polish explains, I don't have any kli down here that I could show you. Okay, my mom is, I don't have a cup or a water bottle. Okay, imagine if you had a water bottle. Okay, and you fill it with beads, B-E-A-D-S, beads. The whole water bottle is not going to be filled. There's going to be empty spaces of pockets of air because the beads are a certain shape. So you might be able to put a lot of teeny beads in the water bottle, but you're still going to have empty spaces between the beads. Or if you fill it with beans, beads. That's not good for, if you fill it with, I don't know, paper clips. Okay, beads, paper clips. So the bottle will still have air in it. They're not going to fill every single space. Water is unique. If you fill a container with water, every single space within the bottle will be filled with water. There will be no air. Water fills every crevice of a space. Moshe is the one who brought us Torah. Moshe, emes visoraso emes. Torah tzivulanu Moshe, Devarim 33:4. Torah tzivulanu Moshe, marasha kilas Yaakov. Moshe is what brought us Torah. Okay? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Moshe is when he brought us Torah. Torah will fill every space of a person. And min hamayim mishisu, just like mayim fills every space. Ein mayim ela Torah, Maseches Avodah Zarah 5b. Torah is water. Water is Torah. Just like water will fill every space of the container you put in it. It won't leave any air gaps like beads or paper clips or marbles or rocks. It will fill every single space. Torah will fill every single space of your life. If you let Torah fill you, it will totally fill every aspect and fiber of your being. Kimin hamayim mishisihu. What about Aaron? I learned this last year and I thought it was so fascinating. I always thought, maybe Elu ve'Elu, I shouldn't say it's wrong. Elu ve'Elu divrei Elokim chayim heim. I always thought about Aaron's name, Aleph, Hey, Resh, Nun. So he dies on Hor HaHor. So I always thought there was an allusion there that his name is Hey, Resh in the middle, and the place of his death is Hor HaHor. Hor HaHor, Pashas Chukas. Baruch Hav, he goes up to Hor HaHor, and there he dies. So that's an alluded to in his name. Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal, in his Mayan, Beis HaShoeva, commentary to Chumash, says something so interesting, which I learned last year for the first time. It's from the word herayon, like pregnancy. Herayon. He was conceived, carried to term, and born during a time when all the babies were being thrown into the river. It wasn't. When they say, you know, in Benhu v'hamitin oso, u'isamal v'nayim, Benhu v'hamitin oso, didn't happen it for one pasuk link. Okay, you read it, so you think, oh, okay, so one day they said this one. Stretched on for a period of time. This week's parasha. Ayamas Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, died. Perak Beis, Pasuk of Beis. Lo made, ala nitzdareya, v'haya shochei tinoko b'rocheitz b'damam. It wasn't like, oh, there's one pasuk. One day they're killing the babies. Over a period of time, they're killing the babies, throwing them into the river, bathing in Jewish blood. So herayon against all nature, the Kaz Hashem doesn't work according to nature statistics. Aaron was conceived during this time, Herayon, and his mother carried the pregnancy to term during this time, obviously, otherwise Aaron wouldn't be here. And he was born and he lived. So if Shimon Schwab suggests that Aaron is from the word Herayon, pregnancy, to show you the miracle of what happened during this time. Moshe, Minimayim, Mishisi, we explained that water, like Torah, will fill every crevice of your being. There won't be any gaps. A Torah personality becomes completely filled with Torah. Secondly, Aaron, Herayon, pregnancy, conception. Remember, what's the whole point of departure for this year? The name of the second book of Chumash. There's no Inyanei Diyoma. So I said, let's talk about Shemos, the names. And we see something fascinating. The names aren't even mentioned. So it's more than it's just the name you're called. There's something deeper about names going on here, which leads to Geula, because Sefer Shmos is also known as Sefer HaGeula, and we're still getting there. Now let's talk about Miriam. So we've spoken about the two leaders of the men, Aaron and Moshe. What about Miriam? So Miriam has a lot going on in her name. So first of all, I saw a number of years ago, I forgot which Mefarsh brings it down, not my own Machshava, that she was born during a bitter time. We read in the Pasuk, Vayimaru Eschayim Bavodakasha Bechomer Velevenim, they embittered their lives. So the most obvious thing about Miriam's name is Mar, bitter, Mem Resh. She was born during a bitter time, she lived during a bitter time. First two letters are Mar, second two letters are Yam. That too was part of Miriam's essence. We're not up to there, it's Parshas Beshach. But just like Moshe crossed the men across the Ritzi, Miriam led the woman and then went out and sang, 1520. So he led the men across, she led the woman across. Furthermore, Rome, Mar backwards is Rome, to be lifted up. She took what was bitter and she lifted up the nation with it. We know that her and her mother actively kept the babies alive. They didn't just passively look away and said, you could go home with your baby. They fed them, they washed them, they cooed to them, they gave them to drink. So we have Mar, bitter, Rome, to elevate or lift up. Yam, sea, Mayim, Mem, Yod, Mem, water. So much of Miriam's life revolves around the water, throw the babies into the water. She stood by the water to see what would happen to her baby brother. She crossed the woman through the water. And finally, someone suggested to me the first three letters of her name spell Mary. Leora Waxman suggested this to me from Woodmere. Mary means rebellious. Mem Reshud. But in Miriam's case, it was a positive rebelliousness. She rebelled against Paro. She rebelled against her father, Sota Yud Beis Amin Alf. And her father said, he's divorcing his wife. She said, you're worse than Paro. She had a tenacity of rebelliousness in a positive way that led her to save the people. And I suggested when the Oro Waxman said that to me, Mary, I said, and then the last letter left is Mem. And Mem is Gematria 40. Mem Reshud, Mary, rebellious in a positive way. And then the last letter is Mem, which is 40. So in the merit of her rebelliousness, she was zochet to sustain the people for 40 years in the desert through Mayim. The Be'er Miriam was a well of water. And the Zchus of Mary, in this case it was positive, Am Kshei Oref. She had a positive rebelliousness. She sustained the woman, the whole nation, for 40 years in the desert. So we see that names are very, very important. We see that the whole book is called Names, and something about a person's name leads to Geula. Okay. Furthermore, the Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Perak Chav Pasuk Chav Zayin, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of God is the soul of man. You will note that the two middle letters of the word neshama are shame. So neshama, many people, not many, there is a, I don't know if it's a custom or halacha actually, to learn mishnayos after a person is a nifter or nifteres. Why mishnayos? Because the word neshama and the word mishnah are the same letters. And the learning of the Mishnah causes an aliyah for the neshama. So you can't say, oh, that's cute. No. We're talking about the emes of Torah, so it's not cute. It's emistic of Torah. Learning of the Mishnah causes an aliyah for the neshama, but the very essence of the neshama is the shame. Non shen mem hey, shame. So what is it about a person's name that is so significant? And what I'm going to propose is that it leads to this union of Geula as well. Why? Because Sefer Shemos is known as Sefer HaGeula. So I now quote Rabbi Zavlev. Rabbi Zavlev quotes a chazal. I don't know where the chazal is. I don't know where it is, so I for sure don't look it up because I don't know where it is. But Rabbi Zavlev says that everyone has four names. Now you might think, I don't have four names. Maybe you have one, maybe you have two, maybe you even have three. Some people I know actually have four, but that's not what Rabbi Zavlev is speaking about. What does it mean that you have four names? The name Hashem gives you. What does that mean, the name Hashem gives you? Okay, when I say you have four names, I don't mean literally like my name is Michal Chava. So I have two given names at birth. That's not what I'm talking about. So don't be confused. Let me say, Rabbi Zavlev says every person has four names. It means four essences. Okay? My name represents who you are. You have four representations of who you are. Emblematic in four different names, putting that in quotes. The first name is the name Hashem gives you. What is the name Hashem gives you? A neshama. Your inherent personality traits. Or to paraphrase Rabbi Zeva, if not paraphrase, to quote Rabbi Zeva, your talents, abilities, and capabilities. Every person is born with innate talents, abilities, and capabilities. Some people are more artistic. Some people are more musical. Some people are better at English language arts. Some people are better cooks and bakers. I know these things can be learned, but a person clearly has a natural tendency for certain strengths more than somebody else, and that someone else has more strengths than they have. That's just how Hashem made them. So some people are better in math. I'm not a math mind at all. And some people are very smart at math. And I'm always in awe when I see people are good at math because I'm not at all. But some people are not good in writing an essay. And Baruch Hashem, that happens to be one of my strengths. Why? I'm not saying about Gaiva, I'm stating a fact. Because Hashem endowed every person with talents, ability, and capabilities. Math is one of my weakest points. I'm not talking about 2 plus 2 is 4, basic multiplication. But once it starts to get a little more complicated, it's not my strong point. Why? Because Hashem gives everyone different talents, abilities, and capabilities. So your neshama, the name Hashem gives you, represents your inherent personality traits. And that's just how you were born. Okay. Some people like to cook. Some people like to paint. Some people like to do sports. Some people like to dance. Some people like to sing. Some people like to read. Some people are more social. Some people are more introverted. Some people, I don't know, like to speak. And some people, you know, would think they're going to die of shame if they have to get up and make a speech. You have inherent talents, abilities, and capabilities. That's the name Hashem gives you. Then you have another name. What name is that? The name your parents give you. But I'm not talking about like Michal Chava. That's not what it means. What is the name your parents give you? Your genetics. Your parents may be musical, so you are musical. Your mother might be smart in math, so you're smart in math. This is what we inherit genetically from our parents. That's the name your parents give you. And that's also, I'm going to add on to that, the nurture of the home. The environment of the home also influences you and shapes you, and that is part of the name your parents give you. So Hashem gives you a name, your talents, abilities, capabilities, the neshama, that's what you're born with. Then you come to this world, then your parents give you a name. The name your parents give you is your genetics, the traits you are born with, and also what they pass on to you, and also the nurture of the home. The home environment contributes to the name that your parents give you. People grew up in different homes, have different ways of doing things. I don't know, in this home we focus on, I don't mean this home specifically, I mean in that home, I mean we do in this home, but anyway. In that home you focus on using a knife when you eat and proper table manners and a napkin, and that house never has napkins on the table. There are some homes like that. So that is the environment of your home and how it influences you as you grow up. Then there's a third name. So the first name is the name Hashem gives you. Then you have the name your parents give you. The third name is the name your friends give you. What does that mean? It doesn't mean the nickname. It means your environment and the influence of your surroundings. Harchik mishachin ra, oy the rasha v'oy the shcheino, ve'uvein korach, tov the rasha v'tov the shcheino, asei the charav u'knei the chachaver. So the name your friends give you is your environment, the influence of your surroundings, right? So if your friends are Toradik and Tzanua, and I don't know, modest, and they go to places of proper entertainment, then you're going to be influenced by that. And if your friends are maybe not so tzanua and go to places of entertainment that aren't so kosher for from yid, so maybe you'll be influenced by that. If your friends speak about certain topics, you're going to be influenced by that. So you have the name your parents, Hashem gives you, the name your parents give you, we've explained each one, and the name your friends give you. What's the fourth name? The fourth name is the name you give yourself. What does that mean? Doesn't mean a nickname. Doesn't mean you go to town hall or a legal court to change your name. The first three names represent your potential. You are endowed with talents, abilities, and capabilities from Hashem. You have hopefully the chinuch of your home, the genetics of your parents. Hopefully you surround yourself with good friends. So you have a choice. You want to go to the movies or you want to go to a shir. Your friends say, I'm going to a shir. You have a choice. That's all potential. Potentially, you could use the talents, abilities, capabilities God give you. God gave you. Potentially, you could take the hopefully positive chinuch in your home and build upon it for the rest of your life. Potentially, you could choose to be positively influenced by your friends. It's potential. Rabbi Zevlev says, potential is zero. It's very nice. You know, I'm going to give you an example. He doesn't talk about him, but Reuven's the best biblical example of having a lot of potential. And Reuven's his own all shear. His own whole shear. But Reuven is the best example of someone with a lot of potential. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks points out that's the only time the Torah does that. The Torah does something it never does before. It narrates something which didn't even happen. It's a total lie. Now this isn't a lie, Shina Badavar Mepnei HaShalom, like the brothers in Perek. No. This is outright lie. It's not true. Ayishma Reuven Ve'atzileh Miyadav. No. Reuven heard that they want to kill Yosef and he saved him. No. He didn't save him. Yitaka did not save him. He left to go either be Meshamish father, be busy with sackcloth and ashes. He did not save him. Reuven is the narrative of completely unfulfilled potential. Pachas Kamaim Altosar Alisa Mishkave Avicha. Yasser says for Yasser Oz, you should have had Nasiyah Kapayim. You should have had Malchus, but you lost it. You're hasty like water, not like the first water we spoke about. You're rushing like water. You don't consider your actions. Reuven is unfulfilled potential. Just think of a biblical example. If he's your favorite biblical character, that's very nice. Don't email me. I'm not insulting him. I'm stating what the Torah wants us to learn from Reuven. Potential is zero. You could say, I don't want to kill the boy. I don't want to sell the boy. I want to take him home to father. That's gevaldik. But it's zero. You didn't take him home to father. You left him in the pit. 17-year-old boy. Think of a kid you know that's 17, whether it's your child, grandchild, or great-grandchild. How would you feel to the people who threw him into a pit? Naked, they stripped him of his ksonis, and then a ksonis possum. Look at the psukim. They stripped him of two layers. And he's in a pit with cobras and rattlesnakes and poisonous Middle Eastern scorpions. It's very nice, you would say, but you didn't. So your potential is zero. You didn't do it. So it's very nice to have talents, abilities, and capabilities. You have certain kochas that you could give to benefit the klal. God made you born with those kochas, but you chose to sit home on Facebook all day, so you're not using kochas to help people. So your talents, abilities, and capabilities are very nice, but it's potential because it's zero. You could grow up in a wonderful home, but you don't carry that mesorah on. You could have amazing friends, but you chose to go to the R-rated movie when they went to Ashir. I'm just using examples. If you don't like them, put in your own examples. Lots of potential, said Rabbi Zev Lef, is lots of zeros. So you could have a lot of potential. God gave you amazing talents, abilities, and capabilities. You had the Gedolei Hador as your parents. And you had the best friends. They were the A-track in yeshiva. So now you have a lot of potential. So you still have a lot of zeros. If you put a number before the zeros, now you have great value. Potential is nothing unless you make it something. And so the most important name is the name you give yourself. You take the name Hashem gave you, the name your parents gave you, the name your friends gave you, and you make it something. Rabbi Zev Lef says that the time of the Yetzias HaNeshama, when the Neshama leaves the body, Kol HaNeshama bi Yetzias min haguf bi sof ha'olam va'ad sofo. Kol HaNeshama, the voice, the sound of the Neshama, bi Yetzias min haguf, when it leaves the body, mi sof ha'olam va'ad sofo. It's heard from one end of the world to the other. The sound of the scream of the Neshama at the time of Yetzias min haguf is heard from one end of the world to the other. What does this mean? Rav Chaim Volozhiner, at the time of Yetzias Neshama, you're shown a screen in Shemayim, or whatever, however they imagined in the 1800s. There's two pictures painted of you in Shemayim. One is what you are, and one is what you could have been. And when the Neshama sees what it is, and what it could have been, well, that's sort of scream heard from one end of the world to the other. So the neshama of a person has embedded with it the name, shame, the word shame. Because all our talents, abilities, and capabilities are inherited in our neshama, including the genetics from our parents and the positive, hopefully, influence from our friends. But our tafkid is to bring our name, our latent potential, to actuality and to reality. There's a story told over the Netziv. I've told it over before. I don't know if it's true or not true, but it's powerful. The great Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda in Berlin, the Ha'emek Davar, Zeichot Tzadok Kol Shevrecha, the Shiva from Volozhin, Gaon Olam. Oh, he doesn't need my accolades. So, the story is told that when the Nesiv was a young boy, he was learning in Yeshiva, and it was too hard for him. And he just, like, couldn't chaf the Gemara. So he comes home and he tells his parents he's leaving Yeshiva. So his parents were very disappointed. He said, I'm going to apprentice as a shoemaker. I can't do this. So he has a dream. He goes to sleep that night, and he has a dream. And he dreams that he goes up to Shemayim. They say, state your name, after 120 years. And he says, I am Naftali Tzvi Yehuda from Berlin. They say, ah, he has arrived. They call them malachim, and they start to bring in a set of sfarim. Doesn't know what the sfarim are. They open the sfarim to the title page, and it says, Ha'emek Davar, Al Shem, Rav Naftali, Tzvi Yehuda Miberlin. They show it to him, on Chamishachim Sheitar. I went to Rabbi Shai Shachter saying the name of his father, of Herschel Shachter Shlita, that the Netziv thought he was a Rishon. The Netziv interprets Torah like he's a Rishon. So they show him this Gevaldik Sefer on Chodesh, and he says, who wrote that? And they say, it's a Sefer you would have written, and you stayed in Yeshiva. Is it a true story, a true Maisa? I don't know. Does it have a strong point? Yes. We all have so much potential. Otherwise, Ribbono Shel Olam would not have put us here. He knows what he's doing. The kasha is, do we actualize our potential? I think it's very interesting that the first time this concept of shame, the first shame we really come across in Sefer Shmos, not by the Shvatim. That's right in the beginning. We already saw them in Bereishis. They came down. The Torah is reiterating that they were there. Once they die, the first shame we're introduced to is that of Moshe Rabbeinu. You saw it on Perek Beis Pasuk Yud. Vatuvielu ba'paro, vatiyilo leven, vatikra shmo Moshe kamina mayim mishisihu. She names him Moshe from the water, Aijuha. But we saw that in the name Moshe itself, if you switch around the letters, is the word Hashem, the name. Because Moshe, lo kam navi b'Yisrael k'moshe, I skipped from his birth to his death. I skipped a lot in between. Lo kam navi b'Yisrael k'moshe, sh'yado Hashem panim apanim. Moshe is the dugma, is the prime example of someone who is able to actualize and bring to fruition all the kochos in his name, in every aspect of his name. God gave him clearly talents, abilities, and capabilities. The house was filled with light. His parents gave him something, not only when they hid him for 3 months, but also when she nursed him for whatever it was, 2.5, 3 years. And his environment, gave him something. But it's wonderful. But he chose to actualize with a little nudging from the Ribbono Shel Olam, this week's Sedra. But once he got that push, he actualized the potential in his name. He took the kochos of Hashem and made himself into Moshe. And he's the first name in Shemos that we're really introduced to. So what am I suggesting? But the appellation for Sefer Shemos is Sefer Hagula. What's the pshat? Perhaps when we recognize and actualize the potential in our shame, we bring geula to ourselves, to our neshamos, and ultimately to the world. By recognizing the potential in our shame and bringing the shemos to fruition, Sefer Shemos, it becomes a sefer, a story of geula. Every person is here to fulfill a certain tafka. The Ribbono Shel Olam put us here for something. We're going to go up, see two screens. It's a mamish, a terrifying thought. Literally a terrifying thought. This is who you are and this is who you could have been. It's a pachad. So scary. But if we do our best to actualize our potential, in whatever way we can, the Rambam writes, everybody could be, should think to himself, I could be a Moshe Rabbeinu. And we take the Hashem, the Heishin Mem of the letters of Moshe's name, and we have a Moshe Rabbeinu. And there was never anyone greater than a Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Zev left, so I thought that it ties in very nicely to Shemos and Geula, which are the two appellations for this book. Through actualizing the potential of our shame, we bring personal Geula, and ultimately will affect, and every person reaches his potential, the Geula will come. Rabbi Zev left tells over that there's a father reading a magazine, and the boy kept pestering him. The father wanted some peace and quiet at Shabbos. I want to read some mishpacha, she says. Go play with the Lego. But the boy keeps coming back. This doesn't happen in my house, but I don't have little kids, so it's just an example. The boy is pestering him. The father finally tears out a page with the map of the world. He says, leave me alone. He tears out a page from the magazine with a map of the world. He tears it into 20 pieces. He puts it on the coffee table. He says to the kid, put the puzzle back together. Well, it can't be Shabbos. He tore the paper, whatever day it is. Sunday afternoon. Don't come back to me till you're done. Father figures he has a few hours to read. 15 minutes later, the kid comes back and he says, Father, I'm done. Father says, that's impossible. You know the whole map of the world? My kid's a genius. The son said, no, it was easy. On the back of the picture of the map of the world was a picture of a man. I put the man together and the whole world fell into place. And a person puts their shame, their own name, into place. all world falls into place. Atuviela bas paro vayihila the ben. Atikoshmo Moshe. The Hashem, the potential in all his names, is so actualized that he becomes a Moshe Rabbeinu. So I was thinking something very interesting. I'll tell you, this is the best part of the shir, maybe. The Chazal teach us you have to have your thing caps on because we have 5 minutes left. Okay, I could have done 2 shir with the mantle material prepared, but whatever. That's typical for what I do. The sages teach us, not on purpose. I always just prepare it too much. The sage, it's not too much. I prepare more than the time frame of what I have to teach. It's never too much Torah. The sages teach us in Perek Avos, but this is really the climax, the amazing part of shir. The whole thing's amazing, but just listen. Too much introduction. Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Yad Gimel, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Kesarim, listen carefully. Shlosha Kesarim Heim, Keser Torah, the Keser Kuna, the Keser Ma'achus, the Keser Shem Tov, interesting, Olal Gabehim. Rabbi Shimon says that there are 3 crowns, Keser Torah, Keser Kuhuna, Keser Ma'achus, Keser Shem Tov, Olal Gabehim. So I was thinking as follows. Keser Torah represents the name Hashem gives you. Why? Hashem gives every Jewish neshama the capability to learn Torah. Look at the famous Beis Halevi on Parshas Vayigash, a fisherman who says, I don't have a mind for Torah, but I have a mind for fishing. Every Jew comes to this world with a mind for Torah. So Keser Torah represents the shame Hashem gives you. Now, it might be Torah on your level. Maybe I can't sit in the track A Shir in X top yeshiva, but I could got a Shir that speaks to me. Every Jew can grab Torah. You have the talents, abilities, and capabilities to be a Torah Yid. That's the name Hashem gives you. So Keser Torah represents the shame Hashem gives you. Keser Kuhuna represents the name your parents give you. How so? Just like a Kohen genetically, spiritually genetics, passes on the Kuhuna to his son, who passes it on to his son. It's the name, the Kuhuna is the name your parents give you. So too, therefore, represents the name your parents give you, the genetics, what they pass on to you, the environment. The Kohen takes his son to learn how to stand on the duchen. He takes his son to learn how to do the avoda. So Keser Torah represents the name the Ribbon Sha'olam gives you, because every Jew has the power and the ability and the talents to grab Torah. What does the Gemara say? Yagati lo metzasi al tamin. It's not possible. You just maybe don't have the right teacher. Maybe it's they're not in the right language. You have to be able to grasp Torah. Keser Torah is the name Hashem gives you. Keser Kuhuna is the name your parents give you. Represents the name your parents give you. Just like your parents give you the Kuhuna, that represents the name your parents give you. And then Keser Malchus represents the name your friends give you. Why? Because just like others give the king Malchus, if there's a coup and the nation throws over the king, he's not a king anymore. He's a king because people give him malchus. He's a king because people give him kavod. Once he's overthrown by the people, he's not a king anymore. So Keser Malchus represents the name your friends, your environment, people around you give you. So once again, Keser Torah represents the name Hashem gives you. Keser Kuhuna represents the name your parents give you. I explain how each one. Keser Malchus represents the name your friends give you. Because just like a king is anointed by others, that represents the name your friends give you. But the Mishnah says, V'keser Shem Tov Alel Gabehim. But the most gevaldic name is the name you give yourself. The shame, Tov, make your name a good name. So here comes the best part of the shir in the last minute. I emailed this Rabbi Zavlev. I've emailed him in the past. I've asked him questions. I've been zochel to meet him a number of times in person. I emailed Rabbi Zavlev. I did not email him the whole shir. He said the Kavod HaRav, giving a shir on the Rav's 4 names. I didn't tell him it's related to Shmo, Sefer Gula. I didn't go through every Chedesh that I suggested. But I said, I think that this Mishnah relates to what the Rav taught. I just emailed him this paragraph. I said, Keser Torah represents the name Hashem gives you. Torah is Torah Yisrael. Yeshishim Rubi Osos the Torah. Represents every member of Kai. So I explained why. Just this paragraph, I emailed him. I said, Keser Kuhuna represents the name your parents give you, what they genetically pass on to you. Keser Machos represents the name your friends give you. But the Mishnah is very clear. Those names are nothing if you don't give yourself a name. The Keser Shem Tov Alel Gabein. You have to make your shame good by actualizing your potential. So he wrote back. He's familiar with. I've been in touch with him before. He knows I'm not a Baal Gaiva way. I'm just saying, like, he emailed me back. And he wrote, quote, very nice connection to Pirkei Avos. Yasher Kocheich! Exclamation mark. So I said, now I can for sure tell the word over. If it's my idea, I think it's nice. I think it's beautiful. But if I have a skama of Rabbi Zev Lev, it's MS. And you should just know, one time I heard him say a shir, and I emailed him something else about Beirach, and he wrote back, thank you for reminding me of this Dvar Torah. In response to this Ara and connection to Pirkei Avos, he said, very nice connection to Pirkei Avos, Asher Kolcheich, exclamation mark. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So Rabbi Zev Lev says, when you give the baby a name, it is Bris. You say, Kishem Shanichnas Bris. Kein Yikolas HaTorah Dechupa L'maisim Tovim. Doesn't just mean like this. He entered the Bris. He should enter Torah Chupa L'maisim Tovim. Kishem. Like he has a name at birth. Kishem. With the name that God gave him. With the name his parents, not the actual Yikras Shmo B'Yisrael. The name his parents give him. The name Be'ezras Hashem for his friends will give him. He should use all of those kochos, the kanes, the Torah, the chuppah, or the maisim tovim. And perhaps that's why the appellation for Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGu'ula. I don't know, but I think one reason. No, the main reason is because we have Gulas Mitzrayim, spiritual Gu'ula with the Torah, and then the ultimate Gu'ula with building the Mishkan and bring the Shechina into our midst. But maybe another reason Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGu'ula is because if you put the person together, you put the whole world together. And when a person can actualize the potential within their three names, Kesar Shem Tov, Olel, Gabayan, and make for themselves a name, Moshe, Hashem, here's a person who's the dugma of actualizing his potential more than anyone in history. Learn from him. Make yourself a person of Geula. And when every single person brings Geula to their personal tafkid, and surely the ultimate Geula will come. This was Nashim Tzikonis, Boso Ador, Nigal Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Alavai, we should be Zocha, to fulfill our potential and see the ultimate Geula. I hope you enjoyed. Ma'ahavti Sarasecha, Kolei Misichasi. Thank you to Rabbi Shabtai. Wish everybody a wonderful evening and Shavua Tov, Be'ezer Hashem. Kol Tov, and thank you so much.